Well, I must say, before I get into the message this morning, last week was daylight savings time. We jumped forward. And I think I was maybe more affected than I thought, because I kept on making reference to Moses and Lot instead of Abraham and Lot. My wife was like, what was with that? You were referencing Moses. And I was like, what? So I went back on the video, and the instant replay did show that I spoke of Moses instead of Abraham. So my apologies for that. I think you all knew the story that I was going after. But that kind of happened there. So my apologies about that. After church, we do have soup and buns. So if you're a guest with us, we invite you to come to Soup and Bun. If you're a regular with us, come to Soup and Bun. It's the first one we've had in 2 years. So we want to celebrate and be together about that. Everything's free. Just come, get a bowl. We just want to make sure everybody gets a bowl of soup, too, before you go back for seconds. But there's usually plenty and usually lots. So make sure you're there for that. Fill the water pots to the brim. Anybody got water pots? Anybody remember the commercial? Fill it to the brim. Or, what was it? Fill it to the rim with brim. Remember that? That was a coffee. The coffee was called Brim. Fill it to the rim with brim. It came to my mind when I was thinking about this story. I'm going, okay, what do I title this? And I'm like, oh, fill the water pots to the rim with brim. No, it doesn't quite work, but it's the wine. But we're making our journey towards Passover. And Passover is in about six Sundays. And we want to trace the journey of Jesus to the cross through his miracles that he performed. Jesus performed miracles. He performed signs and he performed wonders. Wonders made the people go, wow, never seen that before. Signs pointed towards something further. Miracles, or acts of power, displayed the glory of God. So this morning we look at the first miracle is water to wine. So we're looking at John chapter 2 this morning. John chapter 2 takes place at Cana, a wedding in Cana. So if you have your scriptures, you can read that. It will be on the overhead. And just so you know, we are now being sponsored by Pro Presenter. So, no, why is that happening there? It's because Kari told me, she said, there's something wrong with the registration. And so I don't know exactly what that is, but they don't believe we have a registered copy, so that's coming up. So, we have a new sponsor this morning, Pro Presenter. But the word of the Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Excuse me. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there a few days. The Lord add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. So what was the purpose of the miracle at Cana? What was the purpose of turning the water into wine? Well, it says in verse 11, it was to reveal Jesus' glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus' purpose was to reveal his glory so that the disciples would believe in him. Interesting, though, is Jesus' conversation with his mother Mary is when she approaches him with a problem. There's an unhidden expectation that Jesus will take care of the problem, but the problem was what? They ran out of wine. Like I said to the kids up here, a wedding lasted for 7 days. 7 days. Imagine what your food and grocery bill costs. Because during that 7 days, you're responsible to feed anybody and everybody at any time. So what was usually the case is the cost of the wedding was defrayed by the guests. The guests would give gifts. So maybe somebody gave some money, some shekels here and that kind of stuff to go purchase some more wine, or maybe they brought some wine themselves or brought some food, but it was expected of the guests to defray the costs. The people that you invited, distinguished guests, important teachers, and everybody that would come. So it's no surprise that Jesus was invited. But yet Jesus had not performed any miracles yet. He had not done any healings. Nothing like that had happened. He had simply called his disciples, and they were starting a ministry. The key cog in all of this is who? Is Mary. Mary is obviously a friend of maybe the family whose bride is getting married, or the groom. But she's an important cog in the wheel because she comes to Jesus and says, there's a problem. They've run out of wine. The hidden expectation there is that Jesus take care of the problem. Question is, does Mary realize who Jesus is? Well, she's grown up with Jesus. Well, Jesus was her son. The important fact to remember is that Jesus was born of God, not of Joseph, her husband. Mary had had no relationships with Joseph, and Jesus was born. That's why we celebrate Christmas. So Mary, we can safely assume, she's like, well, Jesus, you're a miracle. You're the Son of God. Surely the Son of God can take care of a wine problem. And Jesus says what? Don't mix me up in this situation. It's not yet my time. What is the time that Jesus is referring to? It's not yet his time to reveal who he is. But yet, at the end of this account, Jesus performs the miracle of changing water to wine. And we're told simply by John, the purpose of this was to reveal his glory to his disciples so that they might what? Believe. Why are the accounts that we have in the Bible written and recorded, and why do we have them today? Anybody venture a guess? So that we might believe. So that our faith would be affirmed. So that we have a testimony and a witness before this world. These are the very words of God. This is the very word of God, the very actions of God, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit. The thing about Jesus in this whole story is this. Jesus does not only supply for one's needs, but he does so with abundance. How many jars were there? Six. You guys can say it, you know it. Six. Say six.
Six.
Six. Great. Awesome. How many gallons each? 20 to 30 gallons each, right? Six times 20 is what? 120. 120 gallons. Okay, stay with me here. Come on. 120 gallons minimum of wine. That's a lot of wine. Okay? Did you know what happened with the wine? Why does the maitre d', the master of the banquet, go, hey, why are you serving the best wine last? Because the best wine was served first. It was always served first. The purest vintage of grape was always served first, and then the diluted stuff was served afterwards. Why? Because everybody was so hammered they wouldn't know the difference. Did you say that? Can we say that in church?
No.
We can't say that in church.
Too late.
Too late. No, that would be against the Jewish law to get drunk. Because Jesus even referred to that. He said, do not lose control. Right? It's not wrong to have a drink, but what's wrong in it is to lose control. And when I was growing up and go to church with my grandma and grandpa, that was the thing I heard from their lips and from their home. It's wrong to drink. Well, I got challenged when I started preaching that, and somebody challenged me, my first wife, Jackie, she said, show me in the Bible where it says that. And I was like, it says, it doesn't say. But what Jesus says is it's wrong to lose control. So Jewish tradition, ritual, custom, that's what they drank back then, was wine, because the water was bad. You could get sick from the water, so they drank wine. Everybody did. So we have this, six jars, 120 gallons minimum of wine, and Jesus has it served first or last. So you get the idea from the reading of the scripture, this isn't at the beginning of the wedding. This is sometime later. And they've run out of wine. Do you know the social cost of running out of wine would be? Everybody's expecting a great celebration. You know the embarrassment that you would receive if you're the one responsible for putting on that celebration? Because remember, your name was everything back then. Your name is still everything in the Middle East. I dare say your name means something still here in North America. But your name means something. Oh yeah, hey, that Rudy guy there, Rudy and Donna, they put on that wedding. Man, they ran out of wine, can you believe it? They ran out of wine. Don't invite them to the next celebration. Right? That's what's happening. So the social embarrassment, the social cost is enormous. And Mary knows this. And we get an idea that this isn't a rich wedding. This is a poor wedding. Because they ran out of wine. The rich wouldn't run out of wine. But they've run out of wine. And the gifts of the people that are at the wedding don't even cover the cost because that was an expectation, that the visitors would defray the cost of the wedding. They would make up the difference that was needed. Well, nobody had anything further to give. So Jesus, they're out of wine. Can you take care of the problem? Jesus does not only supply for one's needs, but he does so with abundance. 120 gallons minimum of wine. 6 stone jars. That's the kicker in this, right? Is the maitre d' comes back and says to who? The bridegroom. Where did you get this wine? This is the good stuff. This is the stuff that should have been served first, but you've served it last. See, the master of the banquet was responsible. It was a place of honor. And so that person was responsible for, guess what? The banquet. To make sure everybody was fed, to make sure everything kept going forward, and most importantly, he was responsible for what? The wine. What happened with the wine is once the first stuff was served, the good stuff, then the rest was watered down. Between a ratio of 2 to 1 and even 3 to 1. Because it had to last. So now you begin to understand what's happening here. They've watered down the wine that they had and they've got none left. There's danger. Danger, Will Rogers. There's danger. Somebody caught it. You know, see, in our house, maybe I'll stand up next time. Jesus not only gives sinners enough to be saved, but gives us his grace in abundance. Jesus not only gives sinners enough to be saved, but he gives us his grace in abundance. Because the story of water to wine is a symbol. It's a symbol of Jesus' glory. It's a symbol of Jesus' divinity. It's a story about God, is it not? About Jesus. Wine is also meant as what? What is the meaning of wine? The symbolism of wine in the Bible. Anybody know? It's a good time. No. It's joy. The symbolism of wine is joy. Jesus fulfills and brings joy. When your joy runs out, Jesus can be there to refill it. With Jesus, the joy never runs out. That can be a challenging statement, but is it true? It is true. Let the wine stand as a type of his grace. Does not Jesus' grace flow in abundance liberally? Yes, it does. And what joy this grace should bring us, as merry as the joy that fine wine can bring. Jesus is invited to a wedding along with his disciples and his mother, prominent teachers, distinguished guests, with the top priority to have at such an event. That was to be as well attended as possible. But Jesus has not yet performed miracles. His abilities were not yet known. His invitation was likely extended because of his reputation as a good teacher and what? The son of Mary. Like I said, the celebration lasts for 7 days. The master of banquet was in the position of authority. Mary asks Jesus, states to him a problem. They don't have any wine. What's the next thing that Mary says? After Jesus says, don't involve me in this woman, and the term woman is in a term of endearment. It's not meant as a put down. It's a term of endearment. What does Mary do? She speaks to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you to do. Puts them to the side, do whatever he tells you to do. She's like, you're going to do it anyways. So Jesus does what? Well, first of all, that statement by Mary is what? How do you read that statement? I read that statement by Mary as a statement of faith. I trust and believe in you, Jesus. You're going to do the right thing. You're going to do what's needed. And this situation is not beyond your control, your addressing. So Jesus does what? He tells the servants to do what? Go get some water and put it in those stone jars. Well, those stone jars are empty for a reason. Why? Because everybody that's attended the wedding has been washing their hands. Why did they use stone jars? Because that was the most clean thing that you could use, because this is a Jewish family. Ritual and purification is very important. You have to keep the traditions. So anybody attending the wedding had to wash their hands. They had to be pure. They had to be clean. I don't know. How many people did you have at your wedding? Our wedding, Lynette, how many people did we have? 500? They're not that popular. 250. 150. I have 125. I have 100. Anyways, that amount of people washing their hands in those jars, and then he goes, go just fill it with water. Right? When does the water turn to wine? What does Scripture say? Is it when they're pouring it in? No. It's when they take the scoop and give it to the maitre d', master of ceremonies, and then he tastes it. So what's required there? The servants, right? The servants are not Jesus' servants. They're not Mary's servants. They're there. They're the servants of the family. And they're told, go get water, fill the jars, and this is going to become wine. If you're a servant and you're told to do that, I mean, you're supposed to obey, right? But what are you thinking? Yeah, right, this is going to happen. But when we read the scripture, the story, they go and they do it. And not do they just do it, they do it with enthusiasm, because we read what? They fill it to the rim with brim. Right? With wine. They fill it to the top. Expectation. Let's see what happens. And then they take the wine, a scoop, give it to the master of the banquet, and he's astounded. I'm wondering, as the servants are bringing it there, as they're watching. Has it turned yet? Has it turned yet? Nope, still water. And he drinks it, and is that when it changes? Thing is this. Do you and I have the faith to come to Jesus with a problem and expect him to provide the solution? Do you and I have the faith and will to do whatever he tells us to help solve a problem? Mary is a woman of exceptional faith in her son, also a person of expectation in Jesus that he will provide and has the solution. Does Jesus have the solution to our problems? Does he? Because we're facing lots of problems, are we not? Does Jesus have the solution? Do I have the expectation that Jesus can solve my problems? Does Jesus want to solve my problems? Does he even care about my problems? This is how much Jesus cares. Is that he knows the number of hairs on your head, or lack of? I want to include everybody. So I'm getting a little thin up here too. But the fact is, this is a wedding poor wedding. And Jesus cares about the social consequences that would come upon a family of the embarrassment of running out of wine, and he turns water to wine. What kind of God do you think that is? Does he love? Definitely loves. Does he care? He definitely cares. If he would do that at a wedding for somebody, what would he do for you? Should we expect anything less? No. This is the kind of God that we worship, the kind of Son that we adore. This is our God that we worship and praise on Sunday mornings. Do I ask for his solution? Fill the water pots. When Jesus is about to bestow a blessing, he gives a command. Go get the water and fill the water pots. Jesus commanded the servants to fill the stone water pots with water. These stone water pots were, like we said, for purification. All guests had to clean their hands. Jesus works blessing through his commands. He says to his disciples, "Go teach, preach, and baptize with all authority, and I will be with you always." Go, teach, preach, and baptize with all authority, and I will be with you always. If you choose not to do that, guess what? Maybe I'm not with you always. Jesus will bless his disciples because he commands it. The lame man was healed because Jesus commanded it, as the lame man obeyed. The blind man was healed because Jesus commanded it, as the blind man obeyed and washed. The dead girl was brought back to life because Jesus commands life. He is the author, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is the commander of Ezekiel and the dry bones. Those dead, dry, helpless, and depressed. By Jesus' command, life comes and is restored. Amen? When Jesus means to bless his children and make them a blessing, he issues a command to them. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a command. Believe and you will be saved. Secondly, in order to receive the blessing, one needs to obey Jesus' command, not question them. How many of us have ever questioned Jesus' commands? Mary's advice to the servants is to do whatever he tells you. Do I do whatever Jesus tells me to do? Do I obey as Jesus commands me, or do I question him? What did the servants do? They filled the water pots to the rim with brim. That's going to be the key thing coming out of here. I know it. They did not argue with Mary or with Jesus. They simply did and obeyed. It is not our job to reason with Jesus and why Jesus did something with the Holy Spirit, why he asks us to do certain things and lead us in certain ways. It is our job to do what he commands. We will not see the connection between the water and the wine, but Jesus does. Just like the servants. You want us to get water? Put in the stone jars? Why? They probably had an inkling maybe afterwards. Did Jesus tell them he was going to turn the water into wine? He didn't say that. He just said, go get water, put it in these jars. And then he said, go serve the water to the master of the banquet. Still water. Right? We're going to have water? This is like, the ratio on this is off, Jesus. until the master of the banquet tastes it in his wine. Action. The servants took action. We need to take action. When Jesus calls us to do something, we may not see the connection between the water and the wine, but it's important for us to take action to do it. Because that's when the water turns to wine. That's when faith grows. That's the requirement of faith. God says in Isaiah 7:9, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. If you don't believe going into war, you're not going to win. It's not going to happen. If you will not follow me as Lord and Savior, as your God, Israel, you're not going to win. I won't allow it. Because the glory that's meant for me, it will not be given to another. It's not about your glory, it's about God's glory. The miracle is not about the wedding party. It's not about his mother, but it's about his glory. And that his disciples would see his glory and do what? Believe. Other Bible translations would translate this verse as, if you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. If you and I do not believe that Jesus turned water into wine, then how will you and I believe that he can do anything at all? How? How can we believe we will receive anything from him at all? We are like a wave passed to and fro, a boat in a storm, back and forth, tossed to and fro when we have doubt. Number three, when we receive a command from Christ, we should obey him zealously. I like that word, zealously. When Jesus commanded the servants to fill the water pots, they filled them to the brim, right? They were enthusiastic. Are we enthusiastic about obeying Jesus when he commands us to fill the water pots? What are the water pots that Jesus is asking you to fill today? Tomorrow? In the past? Were we enthusiastic about it? Do we do it with our whole soul and our body into fulfilling Jesus' commands? Do we love him and each other with our whole body, mind, and soul? Do we serve him with enthusiasm? Do we read, pray, and do with energy and purpose? You know what the worst kind of basketball player is? One without energy and purpose. You cannot play basketball without it. You can't live life without energy and purpose. Even though we may not be able to see the connection between the water and the wine, do your best to fill the water pots that Jesus asks you to with the best love and best energy with your whole person. Amen? Four. Earnest obedience and action is necessary to our dependence upon Christ. If we indeed proclaim to be dependent upon Christ for our very person and living, do our actions proclaim this fact? Proclaiming to be of great faith and following, does the ledger add up? Does our bottom line reflect Jesus' expectations? Does our work reflect our proclaimed faith? Because our work does proclaim our faith in Christ. James 2:18. Matthew 9:29, then he touched their eyes, saying, let it be done for you according to your what? Faith. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. We may think that we're asking a big thing of God. God's going what? Ask bigger. That's nothing. Watch this. Watch this. God can make the impossible possible, Scripture says, right? He won't violate his will. He won't violate his nature. But nothing is impossible for him. This wine, water into wine, that is nothing. Watch this. Why were the people so invested in if Jesus was the Messiah or not? Because he was doing and performing the acts of the Messiah. They had a test. This is what Messiah is going to do. This is what Messiah should be able to do. Heal the blind. Make the mute, make the deaf able to hear. Raise the dead. They had five different tests, and Jesus passed them all. But the interesting thing is what? We still didn't believe in him. We still didn't accept him. Because Satan's working in the background going, nah. He's not God, you're God. He's not God, you're God. You don't need him. He can't do that. It's impossible for him. He's not strong enough. It's called double talk, right? You ever get double talk happening? When you have a question, when something's difficult, when you're maybe starting to doubt, when the ship starts to get unsteady, and you begin to doubt, and you got double talk happening. The enemy loves to do that. Cause you to doubt. Why are these stories recorded? Why are these miracles recorded? So that you might believe. So that you hold on to your faith. Wine is a symbol of joy in the Bible. Jesus turned water into wine. Joy. Doing the will of Christ is a joyful thing. Acting in faith is a joyful thing. Obeying Christ should be a joyful thing. When we follow Jesus in faith, it is his responsibility, his duty to turn the water into wine. And we can expect that he will, because it's his glory that's on the line. It's his glory that's on the line. It's his word. Our job is to believe and trust in his word. We're not there to turn the water into wine, but he may ask us to participate. He may ask us to fulfill a role or a responsibility. When it comes to that, what's our job? Fill that role, fill that responsibility. Do what the servants did. Do it with enthusiasm. John 12, 27, 28, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't the day of glorification. But 3 days later, it definitely was. When he ascended, it definitely was. And when he returns, it definitely will be. Jesus knows how to work the miracle. He expects us to obey his commands so that the miracle can come forward and he be glorified. Are people coming to Jesus through our obedience to share the gospel of Jesus? The servants were required to go draw the water for Jesus, but Jesus turns the water into wine. Therefore, human action is insufficient yet appointed. Human action is insufficient yet appointed. No matter how badly or how well we do something, it'll be insufficient. It's rags before the Lord. But that's to miss the point. The point is that Jesus is inviting you and I to be part of it. To bring the miracle forward, to bring the sign forward, to bring the wonder forward. to see that person come forward and know Christ. You ever shared Christ with somebody and thought, wow, did that crash and burn? Done that many times. But then you wait, and about a year later, they show up in your office again and go, I want to know Christ. And their lives change like that. Sometimes it takes time. How long does it take for wine to ferment? Any idea? I have no idea, but it takes some time. It doesn't happen overnight. I know when we have our Christmas celebration, and my wife and I, we put this punch together. It's got a bunch of berries in it. We love it as a family. We've shared it here a couple of different times. And you put, what do you put in there? You put black cherry cola in there. You put 7-Up. You put berries. And you put pink lemonade in it. Then you mix it all around. It's fantastic. Leave it after a couple of days. Guess what happens? Starts to ferment. It gets kind of, gets a little bit of a kick on it after a while. But we're not expected to turn the water into wine. That's Jesus' job. Jesus uses what and who is available. Am I available? That's the question. Am I available? Serve and do heartily, not despondently. Remember, there is a great shortcoming in all that we can say or do, and always will be, but we are invited and expected to do what we can to do the best expectations, to meet the expectations of Christ. In the end, Jesus turns the water into wine. The servants fill the water pots. So you fill it to the rim with brim. The miracle was a sign, the first sign designed to display the Lord's glory and convince his disciples that he was who he claimed to be. What would Jesus have to do to transfer your unreserved trust to him? What would Jesus have to do? Then you know what? Ask him for it, to change the water to wine. Amen? Amen.